Technorama episode 545, Free Pluto! Yeah.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a planet about yay big and about yay big around.
Over there, in the media corner.
Huh, kind of like Mr. Henderson, my gym teacher.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, sometimes including astronomy and movies and TV shows and whatnot. That is us. Thank you for joining us if this is your first time. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and if you're returning, my name is still Chuck Tomasi. Joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I've joined the Witness Protection Program. My name is no longer Craig.
It is, but he just changed the spelling.
Yeah.
Also joining us in the binary studio once again is our captive audience. I mean, our captive guest, Brian Brown.
Hi, Mr. Tomasti. Thank you for having me as your Technorama intern. I hope to be here for a while and learn the podcasting trade from you and Mr. Steepy.
You have just earned the time. We're going to get you a trainee badge.
Trainee. Podcast trainee. That's great. It'd be like, you know, it'd be like the Cub Scouts. I get the, you know, merit badges for doing various things. You know, I get one that says put up with T. Morris.
Stop tempting me. I put up with T. Morris.
Exactly. You know, and you got like an anniversary badge. You got like stripes, like a sergeant.
I'll put up with him.
Yeah, I think we all put up with him. You're right.
We're going to be hearing from that.
Yeah. I'm expecting feedback in 5, 4, 3.
Yeah. We'll find out if he's watching live or somebody app mentions him fast enough. Dude, they're slamming you on Technorama. I'm famous.
Internet famous, at least, right?
Yeah. That's right. Internet famous.
I did not get a chance to put our question of the week out on Facebook this weekend. Shame on me. I need to really put a Saturday reminder to do that. But we'll muscle on. We've got enough content in the show. What do you say we go right into the history thing?
Let's dig in.
We need Groovy. Our D20s.
Oh, D20s. Yeah, you want to kind of roll it over here? Rolling into the Sarlacc pit over here?
Okay. Deflected.
All right, here we go.
We're going to try this again.
Oh, Dice, you failed me.
What'd you get? I got a one. I got a critical failure.
Wait, two. You got a one. And
I got
two.
A one. I got a one and two.
Hey, I won with a 7. How you like that?
Congratulations, Craig.
Yes. It's a good day.
This dice, man.
Wow. Look at these. Look at these. I picked these up in the bargain bin. There's some that are like calico cat. It's not even one color.
Wow. Like a Chimera.
Yeah, this one's like two-tone green.
Yeah. And what do you call that? A Chimera? Where it's like colored half and half?
It's called a cheap dice.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like the freebie bin.
It wasn't quite free. I think there was still a buck a piece, but they add color to the studio. All right. So, Craig, you ready?
I am. Okay. Yes, I am.
On this day in history for September 26, 2018, this is the 269th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 96 days remaining in 2018. There's something odd about that number 269 and 96, but we'll keep going.
Yeah. It was on this date in 1580 that Sir Francis Drake finishes his circumnavigation of the Earth.
Didn't we make a joke about circumnavigation?
Yes, we did last week.
Week,
as a matter of fact. Yes.
You know what? I almost did, but I passed. I took the high road.
This time. It was 113 time. Years ago today that Albert Einstein published his first paper on the special theory of relativity. I feel special.
That same date in 1914, the United States Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, is established by the Federal Trade Commission Act.
Wow, what's the likelihood that it was named after that?
What, right. The government? Government? No.
Yeah. It was 85 years ago today, the As Gangster Machine Gun As?
Yeah, okay. Keep reading.
Gangster Machine Gun Kelly surrenders to the FBI. He shouts out, "Don't tase me, bro." I'm just kidding. "Don't shout, G-Men." Or "Don't shoot, G-Men."
"Don't shout, G-Men." "G-Men!"
Which becomes a nickname of the FBI agents. There you go.
We'll work on that.
"Don't tase me, bro."
Steamship RMS Queen Mary is launched on this date in 1934.
Also on September 26, 1960, in Chicago, the first televised debate takes place between presidential candidate Richard M. Nixon and John F. Kennedy. Exactly.
You got something on your chin.
That same date in 1969, Abbey Road, the last recorded album by the Beatles, is released.
We were just talking about them today. Man, they put out a lot of stuff in the few years that they were together.
Yeah, look how much. Oh, we found this in the vault.
I still hear songs that are like, "This is the Beatles, and I've never heard this before." But then again, I don't own every album and listen to them end to end. September 26, 1973, the Concorde makes its first nonstop crossing of the Atlantic in record-breaking time.
It was 41 years ago today that the first reactor, Chernobyl Nuclear Power Plant, is completed, and the power plant opens for official usage, the first nuclear power plant in then the Ukraine SSR. Ukrainian SSR.
It was also on this date in 1983 that Soviet nuclear false alarm incident, military officer Stanislav Petrov identifies a report of an incoming nuclear missile as a computer error and not an American first strike.
Would you like to play a game?
Shout out to that guy, man. Let me tell you.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For double checking the facts. September 26, 2005, the PBS Kids channel is shut down and replaced by a joint network with Comcast called Sprout.
Sprouts! 10 years ago today, Swiss pilot and inventor Yves Rossi becomes the first person to fly a jet engine-powered wing across the English Channel.
Huh. Usually it takes two wings.
There's one big wing, Craig. That's all you need sometimes. Come on, the Swiss, they're you know, like timepieces, man. You know, knives, they only need one thing. That's all they need.
They only need one wing, okay.
Yeah.
So happy birthday on this date goes on to American gardener and environmentalist Johnny Appleseed, born on this date in 1774.
Do you remember your third grade history? What was his real last name?
I don't know.
Orange.
I thought it was Chapman.
Johnny Chapman?
Someone can look that up. Appleseed was a lot catchier.
Yeah.
Oh, Theodore Géricault, the French painter and lithographer, was born 227 years ago today.
American photographer and activist Louis Hine, born on this date in 1874.
And Barnes Wallace, the English scientist and engineer, invented the bouncing bomb, which is born. Congratulations, you got a happy bouncing baby bomb.
Hey, watch me bounce this off the backboard. Oh. Boom! Goes the dynamite.
Here, General, catch.
T.S. Eliot, English poet, playwright, critic, Nobel Prize laureate, was born on the same date in 1888.
Born September 26, 1898, American pianist and composer George Gershwin.
Anyway.
American fitness expert Jack LaLanne, born on this date in 1914.
Wow, he was like 100 years old when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was going to say, man.
That man went on and on and on.
He was the first of the fitness craze.
No, he was a robot. That was really it.
Robot.
He's a cyborg. He
was an android. He was like Data. He's like Dick Clark.
Every 20 years, they just replaced him.
Shush. Jean Harney, Swiss physicist, inventor, and businessman, was born on that same date in 1924.
Robert Cade, the American physician and educator, co-invented Gatorade. He was a co-inventor. Was born 91 years ago today. Gatorade's been around that long?
No, but he was. You think the aid in Gatorade came from his name?
Nah.
Yeah. Also born on the same date in 1948, English, Australian singer, songwriter, and actress, and babe, Olivia Newton-John.
Have you ever felt mellow? American actress Linda Hamilton was born on this date in 1956. Let's do the birthdays before the song runs out. September 26, Brett from Wales. 101 is Steve Weshey from St. Louis, Missouri. Pronounce like the first part of wet and she. Wetchy. And Adam Rumke was born on 10-2. Thank you. And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 26, 2018.
Hey, Brian, you're getting a shout out in the chat room.
Whoop, whoop.
Mark Trouble.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Mr. Trouble. He's nothing but Trouble.
He is nothing but Trouble.
We were.
He can't even spell trouble right.
The comment about Robert Cade and Gatorade made me think of a recent episode of, what is it? The podcast, Ridiculous History.
Oh, okay.
There's a podcast called Ridiculous History, and they go through some really crazy stuff. The Adidas and Puma story is one to really listen to.
These, not Adidas.
It was about two brothers who were sons of a shoemaker in Germany. Adolf Dassler and his brother Rudy Dassler. Okay.
Okay.
They've started out a company together making shoes. They even provided the shoes to Jesse Owens for the Olympics.
I remember hearing something briefly about this.
They had a breakup, and it was quite literally a shoe civil war in this town. Rudy Adi was the innovator and creative one. Rudy was the businessman. He went on to start, Adi, short for Adolf, made up the portmanteau Adi Dassler. Adidas.
Okay.
He came up with Adidas. Rudy, the not so imaginative one, came up with, what did he say? Rudas or it was really bad, and it later changed it to Puma.
Wow.
Just scrap the whole thing and just go with Puma.
And it's really, really an interesting story about all of that. So that's what made me think of it. Every time I see Adidas.
Equally, interesting is they both became very big shoe companies.
But then Nike came in and swept them while they were having their little spat. No pun intended.
Yes.
Yeah. Nike was invented by this guy up in Oregon, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
His name was Nicholas Ike.
Nicholas. What?
Okay, Craig.
Put shit together.
Craig's not the imaginative one here either. Seriously, he is the creative one. All right. We have a couple of astronomy related stories. Craig, would you like the first one?
Sure, since I rolled a 7 that outrolled you guys.
That's true. It's pretty sad.
All right, so they made it. In Japan, two hopping rovers successfully land on asteroid Ryugu.
You sure it's pronounced like
Ryobi?
That?
Ryobi.
It's Wagyu, maybe,
Wagyu.
It's that beefy asteroid.
Ragu. the suspense is over. Two tiny hopping robots have successfully landed on an asteroid called Ryugu, whatever you want to call it. And they've sent back some interesting postcards from their new home. The tiny rovers are part of the Japanese Aerospace Explorations Agency's Hayabusa
2
asteroid sample return mission. So engineers with the agency deployed these robots early Friday, but I started to say Ajax. JAXA.
It's Ajax backwards, kind of.
Yes. Waited until today to confirm the operation was successful, today being September 22nd. And both rovers made the landing safely.
Yay!
You go down in the article, there's a couple of really cool pictures. One of them looks more clear than the other, but it looks like really you're looking into a space nebula.
They're on an asteroid and they spotted a UFO, and get the blurry UFO shot.
Yeah. It's confirmed. So the rovers are part of the Minerva 2-1 program and are designed to hop along the asteroid surface, taking photographs and gathering data. In fact, one of the initial images sent home by the hoppers was awful blurry since the robot snapped it while it was on the go. They should have gave it some selfie tips.
Action shot.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd have it, programmed so that, hey, snap the picture when you land, not when you're on accelerating.
Well, actually, if you're not familiar with the project, the reason they hop is because the gravity's so low on the asteroid.
Yeah.
They're kind of, just hopping. They're supposed to move around from place to place. Because they said if they tried to push away from the asteroid, it would just fly away. In order to complete the deployment, the main spacecraft of the Hayabusa 2 mission lowered itself carefully down towards the surface until it was about 180 feet, about 55 meters, for those of you who are not on the Imperial.
Who have gone to the light side.
The people who are actually, you know, advanced.
Yeah. How many is it in qubits?
Yeah. After the rovers are on their way, the spacecraft raised itself back to its typical altitude, about 12 and a half miles above the asteroid surface. Well, that's a big difference. The agency still has two more deployments yet to accomplish before it can rest easy. The Hayabusa 2 is scheduled to deploy a larger rover. Wow, really? I didn't realize that. Called Mascot in October, and another tiny hopper next year. And cool. Of course, the main spacecraft has a host of other tasks to accomplish during its stay at Ragu. most notably, to collect a sample of a primitive world and bring it back to Earth for laboratory analysis.
Oh, so they're not going to crash this one into the comet and then just, or the asteroid, and just like they did have the last couple ones?
Like filet?
No, something's going to actually bring it back up and bring it back to Earth. That's pretty cool.
Bring a chunk, and this is how the alien virus gets transmitted. Yeah. I saw this in Andromeda Strain. I did.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
Wash your hands.
So this is yours, Chuck. This is a good one. I read this earlier this week.
Okay. First hydrogen-powered train hits the tracks in Germany. Yes. French building company Alstom built two hydrogen-powered trains and delivered them to Germany last weekend, where they'll zoom along a 62-mile stretch. Wait, how can it be 62 miles in Germany?
I don't know. Yeah.
They're on the metric system. I know that for sure. 62-mile stretch of track that runs from northern cities in Cuxhaven, Bremerhaven, Bremervoorde, and Buxtehude. I hope that's close.
That's pretty close, I think.
My German is a little old. The new trains replace their diesel-powered counterparts and are the first of their kind, but they are likely not the last. Alstom is contracted to deliver 14 more hydrogen-powered trains, called Coradia Island Trains before 2021. The trains are an initial setup towards lowering Germany's transportation-related emissions, a sector that has been intractable for policymakers in the country, but hydrogen fuel faces some chicken-and-egg-type problems. Yeah. Namely, hydrogen is difficult to store. Hey, it worked so well for the Hindenburg. Why not?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
And make it a truly zero-emission source of fuel requires renewable electricities. Craig's laughing on the other end.
No, I'm laughing, but I'll tell you in a second.
Okay. renewable electricity to perform water electrolysis. The more common option for creating hydrogen fuel involves natural gas reforming, which is not a carbon-neutral process. The advantages of hydrogen fuel cells are that, unlike battery-powered vehicles, refueling a hydrogen-powered vehicle is just as fast as a vehicle powered by fossil fuels. No sitting around and charging overnight is required. Trains tend not to be battery-powered when they're electric. However, because they're so heavy, electric train systems tend to use catenary systems with electrified cables providing electricity to the train. But over long distances, setting up an external electricity source can be expensive. Oh, is that why you see the... Oh, that makes sense. I was wondering why a lot of train systems had electric wires overhead.
Well, there you go.
Weren't always... Oh, cool.
Because they're electric.
They're like hybrids.
Some of them, yeah, I imagine.
Neat.
What could possibly... I see a movie already with this where terrorists take over the train and, you know, are going to blow up the train.
The hydrogen train?
The hydrogen train, exactly. Use it as a hydrogen bomb.
What movie would that be?
In a World.
Die Hard.
Coming Up.
Yeah.
Hey, so here we go. This is why I was laughing. Okay, there's one of the first... And it's for two reasons. I got busted, sort of, when I read this, but... looking at one of the first pictures, and it has all the people on it, I guess the press, and they're doing the trip. I look up on the screen that's on the display screen on the thing. It says Sondufart.
Yes, that's where they're going.
It's not. I started laughing because all this gas talk and there's Sondufart. But if you look at the caption, it says hot tip. Sondufart means special trip in German. Immature Americans can't stop giggling to themselves. And I was like, I was already.
They nailed you. They called you out, Craig.
They're like, hey.
They know me too well.
I knew fart was German for trip or voyage.
Voyage. Kind of yep. Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, that's really cool. It's a cool concept, and it's interesting because they're gonna have a refueling station at one end basically, and then they're gonna have to build another one coming up along the way. So
how do you harvest the hydrogen? I mean, how do you
there's a couple of
electrolysis through water.
Yep, through water is one way, or okay. Natural gas is the other way. Like I said, natural gas leaves is not a carbon neutral. So
right.
Yeah, the electrolysis, but the problem is that the amount of energy to get the hydrogen out.
It takes a lot of electricity to get your hydrogen out to get more.
So the question is how cost effective is it?
Yep.
In the long run. Yeah.
Well, also the only exhaust you would have is water. So in that sense, it's cleaner.
True.
Yeah. Rather than having a diesel, you know, spewing out.
If you had
that.
Water exhaust, would that be a Wasserfahrt?
And sure, you said your German was old.
It was his humor.
Oh, this is a story about
his German is as stale as his humor.
Oh man. NASA tests is first exoplanet evaporating super Earth. They basically found NASA's newest planet hunting mission has reported detecting its first alien world, a super Earth that is likely evaporating under the heat from its star.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
How long is that supposed to last?
You know,
long two or three more weeks.
We
yeah,
got to
get there.
Yeah, as soon as you get there, you know, it's gone, basically. And maybe it's already gone because it's that far away and we're just now seeing images of it.
Kind of like Wally World.
Yeah, it's closed. The Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, TESS, launched on Earth orbit in April 18th atop SpaceX Falcon 9. Go SpaceX. The space telescope is analyzing several hundred thousand of the brightest stars in the sun's neighborhood, looking for tiny dips in brightness caused by the passage or transit of orbiting planets as small as Earth across the face of those stars.
Mm-hmm.
So scientists have used TESS data to discover a new planet around the star Pi Mensae, also known as HD 39091.
Does that mean it's in high definition?
It definitely is. That's how they managed to find it, because if it was in standard def, it would have been really blurry. So,
folks. Pi Mensae is closed.
Pi Mensae is closed.
Moose out front should have told you.
By the way, HD 39091 is located about 59.5 light years from Earth in the constellation Mensa, the table? I don't know what that means. Pi Mensae is a yellow dwarf star like Sun and the second brightest among the stars known of transiting exoplanets. You know, basically previous research, they found other, you know, planets around Pi Mensae, like a gas giant, for example.
Wow.
But it's about 10 times bigger than Jupiter.
That's
Think
pretty
about
big.
That. That's huge. Wouldn't
that qualify as almost a binary star?
I mean, that's pretty big.
That's almost big enough to ignite. History tells me that if Jupiter was, say, 10 times bigger, it might be a brown dwarf.
Yeah, maybe that's what. But right now we're seeing it as a gas giant. Again, who knows?
Okay,
maybe since then. Now scientists have detected a new world around Pi Mensae, one about 2.4 times Earth's diameter and about 4.82 times Earth's mass. The super Earth has been dubbed Pi Mensae C. Orbits around 0.07 AU from its star, or more than 50 times closer than Mercury does to the sun. Ooh, that's close.
50 times
closer.
Closer.
Yeah, to its sun. Wow.
Wouldn't that mean it's like
touching it?
Well, I never understood this, how you could have times as a multiplier. How can you have a multiplier closer?
You can, I guess. I mean, you think about it. It depends on how big, I guess, that the sun is, too.
I've heard this before.
Yeah. Since it's a super Earth, it's slightly larger and more massive than our own world. So that's probably why it's doing okay. But of course, it's like, it's turning to goo, essentially.
It's turning to goo, the goo planet.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Your Adidas are going to melt when you land on the planet and try to walk around.
I don't know if
so it's like that one from Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Half
the
of
sun
it
comes
is,
up and you burn.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And by the way, Craig, it's my Pumas, not my Adidas. Thank you.
Oh, excuse me.
I'll shiv you. Yeah, so there's some really cool pictures in this article, too, if you get a chance to read it. And there's a really cool video where they kind of explain a lot of different things. So
Definitely. Very much so. Thank you, Brian.
Sure.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Hacks and Strange Stories and a couple of Remember When. So let me see if I can get the right button here. There it is. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Greetings, programs.
And applications.
I'm Ben.
And I am Keith, and we are
the Two Gay Geeks.
We are the nerds behind TG Geeks Webcast,
where we talk about sci-fi,
comics,
film,
horror,
genre.
You name it, we talk about it.
We release an episode every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
You can find us on iTunes, Blueberry, Spreaker, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Also, look us up on YouTube. And of course,
we can be found at tggeeks.com, where you can find not only our webcast,
but articles about other geeky goodness.
So come along for the wildest ride in the potosphere.
Did you just say potosphere?
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
Wow.
Whoa, I pulled an old one out of the bucket.
Yeah.
There is no more Slacker Astronomy. I just dragged the file that said Pamela Gay. I thought I had an Astronomy Cast promo well, there.
I heard the music kick in. I was like, wait a minute.
What was that? We just went through a time warp of some kind.
Oops.
Well, it's not the first oops we've ever had on this show, and likely not the last.
So we got to start combing through to see if shows are still live.
That's too much work.
Don't we get enough articles? Come on, Craig. Oh, we have video. Oh,
raise your hand if you listen to Slacker Astronomy.
Do this. Just go into the folder. It has all our IDs. Select all and do random.
Just delete.
No, random play, not delete them. Delete them.
Yeah, you get some interesting things in there if you have really old ones in there.
I do. In fact, I have an obsolete folder, an archive. What is it?
There's 13 years worth of them in there.
Ugh. Yeah, we can always use some more. So if you've got a podcast out there that you want to promo and it's kind of in line with, you know, the nerd audience that we've got, send it along. Send us an email at technorama@gmail.com.
We don't care if they're still active or not. Just send us the idea.
Apparently not. We don't care.
Hey, I have this show called Dragon Page Cover to Cover. I'd like to.
Yeah. We're on it. I'd like to know where that's recorded. I might even show up.
Yeah. Right. Oh, this is an interesting story.
You know, when I first read this, I thought it was something about Guy Fawkes. I knew Craig would take the bait as soon as I clicked this when I saved it off to our weekly library, and I said, you know, I'll bet you anything Craig puts this in the show notes.
What, did you like bet Donna a dollar I would pick this one?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
That's right.
Go for it, man.
All right. A man managed to get himself jailed for 16 weeks and missed the birth of his child.
What an idiot.
After lying to his pregnant girlfriend that he had been kidnapped so he could go get drunk with his buddies.
wait. Let me guess. England.
Wait for it.
No, England or Germany. One of two.
We had, what was it? The Mexican guy or Brazilian guy that said he was going out for smokes and he went to Russia to watch the World Cup.
That's right. So the kidnapping prank had gone wrong, took place in January when Lee Ford, a 45-year-old man from Blackpool, England.
I read it.
made several frantic phone calls to his pregnant partner Zoe Doyle, telling her that he had been kidnapped and he was going to be tortured unless he transferred all of his money she had into the kidnapper's bank account.
This bank account looks a lot like the bar I go to.
Yeah. So at first the woman thought he was kidding, but he sounded really scared, and then there were other men shouting in the background, threatening to cut off Lee's legs and pour hot water on him. But that was just millennials doing the stupid water trick.
You can see him in the back.
Yeah, like, it's all his buddies.
Cut your legs up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he offered to buy a round for his buddies.
So she complied, but she also called the police.
Who wouldn't? I mean, come on.
So at first, I thought he was just winding me up, 35-year-old Zoe says. But he sounded really scared. The phone went dead, and then it rang again. I could hear men shouting in the background, threatening to break Lee's legs and throwing boiling water on him, over him. And they were threatening to mutilate him, cut off his genitals. Too bad that he didn't do that like 9 months earlier. And I was panic-stricken. Lee kept screaming and begging his girlfriend, who was 35 weeks pregnant at the time. 35
weeks? And he did that to her? Dang.
So wait, what is the real reason he went to jail?
Well, faking kidnapping, faking probably.
Is that a felony?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely a long time.
Yeah, you start getting the police involved. There's a search. People are looking, you know, yeah. Faking your death kind of thing. Yeah.
Read on. The next paragraph is where the...
All right. The so here gets pulled off. To comply with the kidnapper's demand, she transferred the money that she had. It was, she had 80 pounds.
That's their life savings?
That was that it, what it,
pound 80, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's 80 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah, and provided the bank account before alerting authorities. A helicopter and trained hostage negotiator was called in for what sounded like a complicated situation, but no one called again until the next morning when Lee himself came home like nothing had ever happened.
He only got 80 pounds. He probably had a drinking tab that was bigger than that.
Here you go. Police were waiting for him and asked, after asking him some questions, they arrested him for wasting police time and resources.
Oh, yeah.
At first, the 45-year-old kept lying about what really happened, but after being shown video evidence of himself and two friends leaving a shop and carrying booze, he confessed to making the whole thing up. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
It's funny, but it's
not. It wouldn't have been funny if you were the person in that situation.
No.
Just say, getting the panic call.
Why don't you just say, I'm going out. If you got to just go out, go. I mean, it's a big production.
You know, don't panic your 35-week pregnant girlfriend, you know. Oh, man, I wonder if they're still together.
Hey, you know what?
Probably.
Yeah, bad life choices, that's for sure. Oh.
I think losing your genitals would be the least of your worries if my wife caught me like that.
And she was 35 weeks pregnant? Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, never mind. I can't segue anything to this. We do this show Sunday every night at 9:30. No screaming or threats in the background.
If you want to join us
9:30 Eastern time on Facebook.
You got a podcast, Tomasi. Otherwise, we break your legs.
Hey, I did want to ask a question. I'm trying to figure out if this is real or not. Are millennials really, or Generation Z or whatever you call them now, pouring hot water on themselves?
But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there was the Tide Pod challenge that were causing people to go to the hospital.
Was that a music video where you got out of your car and ran
the Drake
alongside
one? Yeah, there's also the condom snorting up your nose one that was dumb. I don't think it's necessarily a millennial thing. I think it's a dumb person thing. People who are just, you know, trying to get caught up in the trends and also trying to build their numbers on YouTube, for example, or, you know, Facebook videos. I think that's part of it. I think it's kind of a cultural shift, maybe. But I mean, come on, we all did dumb things as kids too.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, but when you start involving hot water, I've been like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, no, I wouldn't want that.
Not everybody can be as smart as
John
Miller
here brings up the cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge. Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah. Yeah.
That's dangerous, actually.
Oh, yeah. You can aspirate the cinnamon and then hospital time.
Wasn't there a similar one with hot sauce or something?
There's a ghost pepper challenge.
Yeah,
there's a Carolina Reaper challenge. There's a bunch of dumb ones. It's like, you people are dumb.
Did you know that the Carolina Reaper is actually from here in Rock Hill?
Oh, from right there?
Yeah, the guy that made it, bred it, is
like
your
neighbor.
Here.
He's like your neighbor. You like
no, I mean, actually, he's not far from here. He's one of my friend's neighbors, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thought I'd pass that along. I don't know why I'd share
all
that.
Right. This one's more of a video thing, but we'll do it anyway. We have an article from Geekology, and if you follow our show notes through chuckchat.com/technorama, you can find this out as well. There's a little YouTube video about a modern internet company logos reimagined as 1970s to 1990s animated television series, and it even has a little music that goes along with it, and you think you're watching Falcon Crest or something. It's pretty funny.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we just have the YouTube and the... Was it the Twitter one up here? But they have Instagram. The one that blew my mind that I can't believe they did this at all was the Google logo.
And the letter, the fonts, and the colors are the old Apple logo.
Yeah. It looks like, good, though.
What? No. No, it's awesome. Already been done. Why would you cross the streams like that?
Hey, I like the Amazon one. It looks like it's, you know, like dithered, not dithered, but every other pixel line.
Oh, yeah, so it's not quite fully fleshed.
We'll roll it for Brian.
Hey,
we'll
put by it the way, I like here. The Reddit one's kind of cool. It's all chrome.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, let's not mute it. Let's mute this.
Oh, man.
Isn't that great music?
Instagram.
SoundCloud.
Join us. Look at that. Is that not...
That's perfect, though, because it's rainbow. That was 70s, definitely.
Oh, hey, the YouTube one. Amazon. The YouTube one I can totally see at the beginning of a videotape.
Oh, yeah.
SoundCloud. With the loop.
Oh.
This video was a Stephen J. Cannell production.
Like it reminds me of the music like in between, you know, movie reels, too, in the theater back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look at purple and green Facebook.
Oh. Right. Don't forget to get your snacks at the snack bar.
Exactly. Oh, man, that was good. It was like actually the trailers. They'd have like the music playing coming soon, and they'd have the kind of little thing in there, that funky 70 music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. You can watch that if you go through our show notes for episode 545. We'll have that posted on our website real, real soon. So that was a bit of retro fun that we thought. We also have, you know what, Brian, I'm going to let you have this one.
Oh, my.
It's the sad old predictions about space travel.
Oh, okay. Old predictions about space travel can be super depressing in 2018.
Oh, really? Do tell.
Yeah, you probably remember familiar with the old saying, where's my flying car?
Yes.
Where's my jetpack? That sort of thing. But the most depressing question for plenty of space nerds from the 20th century might be, where's my vacation to the moon?
Well, we're getting
coming.
Close.
It's coming.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah, but, you know, we expected it way back when. So, the writer article said they got super depressed reading a paper from 1987 about the space travel advances we're supposed to have by 2013.
87? I thought this was like 1947 or something.
No,
the image is from the 1960s.
Yeah. The paper is titled The World of the United States in 2013. And was written by the late sociologist Daniel Bell. The paper isn't exclusively about space travel. It includes predictions on everything from nanotechnology to population growth. But the section on space exploration definitely feels the farthest away.
I thought I was going to say population control.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about eugenics.
We could have 4 billion people by the year 2020.
Yeah, Soylent Green is here, folks.
Yay.
So here's one of the takes from it. The major frontier, of course, is space. The Payne Commission in the United States has proposed a 40-year program for the exploration and colonization of space. Still a wish. It is possible there may be permanent space stations in orbit by 2013. Kinda. It is even possible that there will be, as in the Antarctic, some outposts on Mars. Still waiting on it. There are many projects for advantageous manufacture in space, pharmaceuticals, for an example. There are designs for solar panels to redirect energy from the sun, just as most satellites in space will be powered by solar reflections. Yeah, there's lots of technical advances from 87, but like, you know, no moon colonies, yeah, no Mars.
DVDs and Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's it's all consumer electronics, really.
There's no moon colonies because the moon was blown out of orbit in 1999.
Oh, they didn't account for that. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, Daniel Bell died in 2011. So, of course, he didn't really, you know, see what happened in 2013.
He ducked out.
Yeah.
Woo, dodged that one.
But, you know, like the article goes on to say that he probably at least mildly disappointed by the topics of space travel. You know, since the space shuttle program is formally retired in 2011.
Oh, that's right.
And the U.S. doesn't have anything like that. Literally, the space shuttle program, it's museum pieces at this point.
Yes, they are.
Thank goodness for SpaceX, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I think it's actually the future of what we're going to look at, I think, really, more than anything else. So,
and Virgin Galactic.
Virgin Galactic, yeah. We'll see if Richard Branson can pull it off or not. I don't know. He talks a big game.
There's another player in there. I'm trying to remember. Who is there? The third one. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Boeing. Boeing. They're Boeing. The third wheel.
There you go. Yeah.
There they also ran. Now, hey, I got a question for you. Isn't it a little pointless to say colonizing space?
What? Yes, you really.
You want to do it on a planet?
Maybe. I mean, if you look at the world of
space stations.
Yeah, if you look at Expanse, I mean, the world of the Expanse, you know, space stations and whatnot, mining stations out in the asteroid belt and that sort of thing. Yeah, but I mean, the things you don't really take in, the things we know now about what space does on the human body is amazing, you know.
They didn't know that in 87.
Oh, no, not at all. It's brutal. I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine living completely your life in space, Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can?
No, I don't know. I obviously, as a kid, you know, you kind of fantasize about going to the, you know, when the space shuttle was around, all that kind of stuff got me going. I could imagine it, but I don't know if I could. Not as a lifetime on Earth. I think it'd be hard to go live in space, you know, as an adult. I don't know.
No view. Can't get out and see the greenery.
Witnessness. Yeah, I don't know if I could do it. At least at my age. If somebody would be born there, what was that movie where the kid was born on Mars and he got stranded there, but he was alive?
Oh, Space Between Us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did. And it actually kind of does tackle some of those subjects where, like, hey, you're on a lower gravity, you wouldn't be able to go back to Earth, per se, and you'd have all these health issues as well.
Well, they kind of did that with the Expanse also.
The Expanse definitely did.
You know, when they brought people back, it's like you had to have some shots, you had to have medication to help you with
the bone density growth.
The lights, the gravity, it was not a pleasant experience to come back to Earth after living on Mars or a mining colony for a while.
Yeah. So even if people do go to Mars, I mean, look at the challenges coming back. So I don't know. One, you're going to have challenges going into space, like you just mentioned, radiation and gravity and all that kind of stuff. But coming back, you know, with children, I think it would be even harder. So I don't know. I can't imagine leaving Earth and doing that. Although it'd be cool to go around the moon and come back.
We could fake it all on a soundstage again.
Again. I like that.
Again.
Still. Right. That's where the Space Force is going to be, Chuck. It's going to be on a soundstage out in Nevada.
Well, how about
you guys? We're protecting the world. Space Force. I think Zap Brannigan. When I think of Space Force, you know, I think of Zap Brannigan is what I think of every single time.
Zap Brannigan. What about you guys? Can you imagine leaving Earth and going to space and living?
Not long term.
No. Definitely not. Not at my age.
I think it'd be fun to do for like a couple of weeks, you know, kind of like you go on a cruise, but then you come back and you get your moon, feet on solid land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moon dust everywhere. That. No, definitely not.
Yeah. Get moon dust into the house.
Oh, I love the smell of regolith in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I don't like regolith.
It gets in your eyes and your ears.
It's everywhere.
It's itchy.
It's everywhere, man.
Wow.
Oh, thanks, Anakin.
Anakin Moon reference. Yeah,
exactly.
Anime gets everywhere.
Get my mechanical hand all crusty.
Crusty.
I keep oiling this stupid thing.
And we went to Wizard of Oz. Let's move on. Time to thank our patrons with the patron music. This show is, of course, brought to you by you. Thank you very much. We really, really do appreciate the donations to our Patreon account. You can find that over at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. I was on the wiki segment a minute ago. So head on over there. And you can be like Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, that John Noble.
Yes.
Not that one.
Not that one. This
Chris
one.
MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, John Miller Jr., and our latest and greatest Patreon member, Amber Elstad. Thank you all very much.
Hey, I think Amber Elstad sounds like a color of paint, a crayon.
What color would that be exactly, Craig?
Brown.
I think it sounds, that'd be a good beer name, really.
Golden
Amber
brown.
Elstad. I'll have an Amber Elstad.
I like that. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. A beer, definitely. Better than a crayon. Way to go, Craig.
Yeah, you're right.
He's the crayon idea guy? What?
Really?
Would you like the Belgian Jorga Schrauen?
Would you like the Belgian Jorga Schrauen?
I'll have a Jorga Schrauen and give me an Amber Elstead for my front buddy.
Or the John Noble Pills.
Oh!
There you go.
We have a bunch of...
Yeah, exactly. Or the Steve Therrien, you know, IPA. You know? Yeah, exactly. Avner Braverman Stout. I'm liking it. I'm digging it. I think you ought to do this with all his beers next time.
If you have a name that even closely resembles a beer, you have to be a Patreon.
There you go.
We're going to take you all out for a drink one of these days, I think.
How did we never see this before?
I don't know.
I want the Saturday Morning Media Amber Ale.
There you go.
I'll just have a mug of Leon.
It's like pitch black. It kind of fizzes a bit. It's like, I want the Leon. Oh, wow.
Thank you all very much. You not only get your name massacred in our show.
Well, yeah.
Transformed into some alcoholic beverage. But you also get special content that is available only to our patrons. We record it right after this, but release it so it'll really mess with your mind if you can try and figure that out when we reference things in the show that you haven't heard yet.
You know what we should do is we should switch shirts between I really mess with them. I'm just saying.
No, the other one's not even on video. It's just an audio.
Oh, it's audio.
Hey, it'll take me a little while to get my shirt over there.
Yeah. I don't know if
Drones.
All right, here, let's do it now.
Oh, no. No, not for video. Not for video.
Oh, the Patreon show.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's the longest we've ever run this segment. The music's almost run out. There we go. We might as well just let it go.
Hey, it was long enough for everybody to firm it.
Wow, that's almost like the two April Wine songs I recorded today. I transferred two April Wine vinyl albums to digital today.
One of the ones with Enough is Enough on it?
Enough is Enough. Oh, and Nature of the Beast.
Nature of the Beast.
Power Play is Power the name of the album. Yeah. Power Play is the album.
Which app? What's that?
April Wine Power Play and April Wine Nature of the Beast.
Okay.
Classic
rock album. Yeah. Good stuff.
We wore those cassettes out.
Yeah, so I definitely did Power Play. And how.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember all the songs of Nature of the Beast more. I think we scavenged everything at the roller rink we could off of that album. It just had there. I mean, between you and me, you could play on a couple skate.
Yeah, solo skates or skates.
Yep. We had a hospital skate where there was no speed limit for like one song, and we just
speed limit.
Yeah.
Yep, Mary and I will often be driving the car, and we'll also go, man, this is a skating rink song. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
You hear it all the time. You know, just enough funky beat or just enough rock and roll to it. Yeah.
We need to have like a Phoenix roller skating party.
Man, I haven't been to roller skates in years. I probably could still do it fairly well. But the thing is, we need the senior rink that's got padding, because if we fall, we're going to break a hip or something, you know.
Well, that's true. And they just sign a waiver.
Yeah, sign a waiver.
Here's your walker, sir.
Yeah, you're old dudes. You need to sign this.
That walker has a little roller skates.
Can I see your ID, sir? Oh, step in this line.
You're in this line. You're in the sumo suit roller skating outfit, so you'd be safe this way. But no, I think that's a great idea, actually. Chuck, that'd be a good one. Do roller skating sometime.
Pull that together.
Yeah.
I still have skates.
You still have skates?
Yeah. I still do.
So the next episode, y'all both be crippled. Your ankles will be...
Yeah, we're like this.
I have two pair of skates.
Two.
I used to work at a rink.
I know you did.
Woo-hoo. Hey, they're so old. They got like the metal wheels on them.
No, not
it's got the key on it.
Not
and everything.
The kind you put on your shoes.
Yeah, you need like a skate key to put it on. Skate key. Yeah,
I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Anyway, no more singing.
Yes, please.
We have one more thing in the Geek Library, which is this one. I just like the music.
Thanks for that.
You don't whistle that to yourself during the day? I do. All right, we have one last story. Who went last?
You.
I guess it's my turn then. Okay. So Amazon is setting traps.
the trap is baited. What are they using
for
bait?
Look, I got a new package from Amazon. You reach in and
yeah, exactly.
A bear trap.
be very, very quiet. I'm planting packages.
Amazon uses fake packages to catch delivery drivers who are stealing. So specifically the drivers. The company plants these packages, internally referred to as dummy packages, in the trucks of the drivers at random. The dummy packages have fake labels and are often empty. We might pull something out.
Wouldn't you know if you picked up the package? Like, whoa, that's light.
Well, yeah. So here it is. We might pull something out of our pockets and put it in there to give it some weight, a former Amazon logistics manager told Business Insider.
A boat anchor.
Yeah. God, why is this thing so heavy? This person who was asked to remain anonymous for fear of retribution said instructions for the practice came from Amazon's corporate offices in Seattle. It is meant to be.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
To check the integrity of the driver, essentially. It's basically, hey, here we go. We're going to put these dummy packages in there and see who's stealing from us. And
why is the inside of the truck blue?
Blue dye pack.
Yeah. Purple. Yeah. It'd be Amazon. It'd be like Amazon brown.
I thought UPS was supposed to be wearing brown. Why are you all purple?
Well, and the funny thing is, I think this is probably mostly for, since Amazon's like kind of outsourcing a lot of their driving packages.
Right, right.
And this is probably why it's for this.
We got one on Sunday. It was not an Amazon driver. It was a little white van.
Yep.
Came by.
Yeah. Popped that.
Oh, I've seen them all day long. Yeah.
So basically they're saying, you know, the checks and audits are part of an overall quality program and are administered at random. And so this is how
are they sending these to? Because what would you do if a random box just showed up?
Well, so here's what it is. It says, during deliveries, drivers scan the label of every package they are deliver. When they scan a fake label on a dummy package, an error message pops up. So when this happens, a driver might call their supervisor, say, hey, I got this bum package. It's erroring. Or keep the package in the truck, basically, is what they tell them to
Nobody
do.
Nobody lives at this crack house anymore. I should know.
Yeah. It's like, I know this address. This is not an address. This is, this is Wrigley Field.
The door is off of it. It's empty house. There's a dog on the chain. It's like, what the heck's going on?
No, but I mean, when they scan it, it comes up with an error. So they have to keep in their vehicle. They bring it back at the end of their shift. Then the supervisors come and grab it, essentially. And then they're like, ha, boy, that John guy's a good guy. Brought it right back. So
you pass.
Yeah. Oh. Now, of course, the drivers could also steal the package. You know, that means, you know, if it comes up with an error, they're like, free stuff.
Oh.
So what they do is, you know, you bring the package back, you're innocent. If you don't, guess what? You're a thug, said Sid Shaw, former manager of the Deliver OL, a courier company that delivers packages for Amazon.
You do not want that rating.
No, it isn't. So basically, dummy packages are just one way they're trying to control theft, you know, which is obviously a huge problem for Amazon. You know, shrinkage, the industry term for losses attributed to
when you swim
theft
in the pool and it's a little cold
water. It's not the cold water shrinkage. It's basically, you know, theft, or, you know, basically theft or error or fraud. Costs about $47 billion last year alone. $47 billion.
Who did it cost $47 billion?
Probably the companies.
Amazon's not
Well, I mean, it's not only that.
That can't be just Amazon.
Yeah, it's probably any retailer. You know, any retailer that goes through Amazon.
$47 billion in stolen packages?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, the other side of this coin is the one where people, you know, steal packages off your front door after it's been delivered in good faith, you know, and gone.
So I'm always waiting.
Well, and Amazon has this new thing now where they take a picture of where they put your package. Mm-hmm. So that way, and they send it to you. So that way, you know that your package was delivered to wherever it was. And you can go, that's not my porch, you know, for example. And so that they can do that.
I started getting those recently in my email. I was like, oh, yeah, my package came. I'm in the house. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even see him pull up.
Right. And Amazon just doesn't give actually how many packages it loses to theft. It doesn't tell you. But they tell you that how many they've delivered the last year, which is 5 billion packages alone.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And that's worldwide. But they're Amazon's very hopeful that these dummy packages will basically deter theft, you know, and also maybe tell them who's honest. And so maybe that's, you know, I would think that hopefully they would reward the honest drivers and they're like, hey, Bob, you returned 50 dummy packages. Here's a gift card or, you know, free donuts for a week or something like that. You'd think it'd be nice incentive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you know, speaking of theft, you know, a while back, we got charged. It's a fraudulent charge from Best Buy. Somebody had bought some packages, And my wife started digging into it, and she called Best Buy, and they were like, well, we can't give you that information with without your order number. And so
it's not my order.
But she was trying to figure out who ordered this and what, you know, what was going on. So she called back several times trying to get somebody different. Hopefully they would, you know, they would end up giving them the information. And she said she called and said, look, I've got my credit card number. Can you give me the information on this order? Sure. What is it? And they looked it up and found it and gave her all the information she wanted. She just had to work game a little bit. And
it's basically,
turns out,
you know, social.
It was
social
delivered face. It was delivered to a neighborhood near here, and somebody would go up there, snake the package, and leave. Oh. And Kim found the name on the package from Best Buy. She looked up the person on Facebook, and they were their cousin was somebody that worked at Amazon. So then it was like, this is a little fishy. And so there's a whole thing where there was an Kim reported it, and that was, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details, but they were looking into it.
Interesting.
Cool. Good for her.
Hey, we were trying to figure out how her credit card number got stolen. You know,
We forgot to give a shout out to our chat room people.
Do it now. Said,
yes, let's do it now. Some of these people may not be on at the moment, but they've been and gone. So, of course, we have John Miller Jr. We've got Victor Cajiao,
mm-hmm.
former of the Typical Mac User Hello. Podcast.
Hello, buddy.
Michael King was here. Mark Trouble, we mentioned him earlier. CJ was online. Gave her a shout out at the beginning of the show. Steve Rickyberg, Brian Maluski, James San Augustine, who is one of our, now I'm feeling a little underqualified. He's one of our AV guys at work.
He'd look at your setup and go, oh, Chuck, 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 Chuck.
And Tiffany Junebug Van Boxtel, who used to work at the karate school where I went. For a while, and she did voice lessons for Donna for a while too.
Mike Robinson.
Yeah, we said Mike Robinson too.
He did.
Yes, he did.
I did. Did I say that? Yes. I didn't see him because I don't always see Craig's friends.
Yeah, I don't know how Facebook figures this out.
Privacy.
It's algorithm. You know, the Facebook algorithm.
If they're my friends, you don't see them. If they're not my friends, you don't see them.
Whatever.
So, thank you all for watching. We appreciate it very much. If you are catching this on YouTube or Facebook, you can watch live Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern. We will be there. Let's see. We just haven't rang the desk bell all night, so need some excuse. You can also find us over at, this is released in podcast form on late Tuesday night. So, it's ready for you Wednesday morning when you wake up, just like your breakfast, coffee, and Technorama. Boy, that's a volatile combination, isn't it?
That'll get you moving. Something moving, at least. I'm not sure what.
Something moving.
After all those alcohol names.
Yeah.
All righty. And that leaves us with the question of the week.
What is the question of the week?
The question of the week is, what is your favorite time travel movie?
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is it Bill and Ted? Is it Back to the Future?
Is it Star Trek 4?
I started to say Star Trek 4. I'm sorry. I was doing the math. Three, four.
Yeah, not Star Trek 5. No.
That'll go back in time for that.
Should be thrown back in time.
Is it The Time Machine?
Oh, there's tons of time travel movies. Wow.
Time After Time?
The Cyndi Lauper song?
No.
that's where I went. I was thinking about it.
It's one where H.G. Wells goes and chases Jack the Ripper through time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So many to choose from. You know what? I want to do a quick Google search. Time travel movies. Let's just see what it comes up with. There's got to be a list.
Oh, yeah. About time.
Interstellar.
Interstellar is great until the very last bit. Yeah.
12 Monkeys. Edge of tomorrow. I like that. Was a good take on a time travel movie.
About Time is really good, too. Have you seen that?
Ooh, Predestination.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Looper.
Hey, Star Mike Trek Menin 2009. Gay got us
that.
Yeah, Predestination's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Star Trek 2009.
I have not seen Looper.
Looper. You haven't seen Looper?
Deja vu.
Oh man.
Harry You'd Potter like and Looper. The Prisoner of Azkaban is a time travel movie.
Well, yeah, because she has the time travel.
The time turner. That's weak. I don't know. No, that's not the premise of the movie.
Hey, you need to go see Looper, by the way.
Yeah, dude, you need to see Looper. It's really good. Bruce
Source
Willis.
Source Code. There's a lot of recent ones. Hey, Men in Black 3.
My favorite, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, please
yeah,
no.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Please no. There's a reason that's not on my list. Ooh,
there are a bunch of them.
The remake of The Time Machine, yeah.
Back to
hey,
the
I like
future.
How they have Austin Powers listed in there.
It's true, because he goes back in time.
Groundhog Day.
There you go, Chuck.
Oh!
13 going on 30.
Of course, Terminator. Terminator 2. Terminator Judgment Day.
Let our listeners read back some of them. Yeah, you don't have to...
We're just seeding the pot.
I think we've done enough right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kate and Leopold.
It's one of my favorite movies, actually. I'm a rom-com junkie, so yeah.
Oh, we have to show you the
Brian Brown's got a sensitive heart.
I am
the 60-yard line. Heart. Then
he's deep.
All right, so that's our question. We want to hear from you, and I will do my best to put this on our Facebook as well to get you going. So, thank you very much, Brian.
Oh, thank you for having me again. I hope to that I can live up to the Technorama standard of podcast recording, Mr. Thomas Stee.
I think you're setting the bar right now.
Did you teach him the pod pledge of allegiance?
No, I know the binary, the binary finger. It's 010.
You got cut off just at the end of that last show. We were doing the sign up. Listeners won't have any idea what that was. But the streamers would if you were on the live stream.
Yeah.
We were doing the binary high five, and Craig says 101. And Brian says 010. That's a binary finger.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Oh, trainee.
Yeah. Podcast trainee. Intern, sir.
Brian.
Unpaid intern.
Would you like an enclosure tag with that, sir?
Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this experience.
Alrighty.
That's great. Now go get my slippers.
Yeah, that's nice. Go get Daddy a scotch.
All right. Thank you very much for watching. Let's play that outro music. Here we go. You can find all of our information over at chuckchat.com/technorama. I'm not going to get into all the other stuff, but it's there. Our Amazon links are...
Listener line?
Listener line. All right, we'll give it to you just in case. 707-530-2428. You can reach us at 707-530-CHAT. I haven't heard from people in a long time. We want to hear from you. Don't forget, we also have our Patreon page over there as well. If you want to get your name turned into some kind of beer.
Or some kind of alcoholic beverage.
I want some guy named Scotch.
Yeah. Got Scotch.
Guy's going to sign up. He says, no, my real name actually is Heffy Vison.
Right.
Then we're in trouble.
Well, you know, you have the Craig Steep Sour.
Step a sour.
Sour. You're sour. Okay. Definitely.
Oh, look at that. The music ran out. We didn't do the binary high five yet.
All right. 101.